Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
And we have all heard and seen the recent headlines. A party in Sudbury that delayed the start of in-person schooling.
Classes will be remote for the first 14 days because nearly 50 students went to a party together Friday night.
Parties at Providence College in Rhode Island that have made the surrounding neighborhood an epicenter for COVID-19.
17 students are now suspended as a result of not adhering to the social distancing guidelines that have been promoted not only by city and state officials, but by Providence College as well.
And a wedding in Maine that has led to 8 deaths and hundreds of infections.
Maine health officials are reporting an 8th death tied to a wedding reception last August. Now over 270 coronavirus cases are being traced back to that one super spreader event.
Those sounds courtesy of CNN, NBC Boston, and Channel 5. Now at face value, one might say, what in the world were they thinking? But 6 months into a pandemic with no end in sight, it is easy to understand why people want to be together and sometimes why they want to celebrate. So we want to get candid about this with you. We're asking you to join this conversation. Have you been to or hosted a party or gathering during the pandemic? And if so, did you take measures to make it safe? If you have been strict about staying home, social distancing, how do you feel seeing others at parties or gatherings? Have you turned down invitations to them because of COVID? What are the safe practices? And is your view of safe practice the same as what the state's is or what your community's is? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet at us at Radio Boston. So joining us for this conversation is Dr. Shira Durone, who is an infectious disease physician and a hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center. Welcome back, Dr. Durone.
Always good to be with you.
And Beth Tytel, a reporter for the Boston Globe. Beth, welcome back to you, too.
Thanks. So great to be with you.
So, Beth, I'm going to start with you. Lots of COVID fatigue. When it comes to gathering, how do you think we think about balancing between civil liberties and the need to be social when it comes to this public safety question, public health question?
Right. I think that's such a good question because what we're really seeing is the importance of the social compact and growing anger when it's violated. I was so interested to hear. I didn't know that an 8th death had been linked to that wedding. It really makes me think about the couple's desire to have a wedding, but the anxiety vortex that sometimes sends guests into. A lot of people who have been invited to weddings now don't want to go, and they're super afraid of going, but they feel like they're if you RSVP, you're signing your own death warrant. But they also don't want to hurt the couple's feelings. I wrote a story a while ago because I was really thinking about that wedding and how weddings are so surrounded by superstitions, like the groom isn't supposed to see the bride ahead of time in her dress, and if it rains, is it good luck or bad luck? And my God, what about when you start your life together with somebody and now 8 deaths are linked to that event? I interviewed brides who spent their honeymoons just hoping not to hear from contact tracers. So I think that the social compact is so important, and also you can see the pressure on hosts now. Like, how would you possibly host an event worrying not just that people didn't like the food, but they might not even survive?
Well, so that's a stark question, Beth. It's important, right? So let's turn to Dr. Durone. How does one do that? Is there a way to gather safely so that, you know, people do want to, we are a social species. People do want to be together. So once more with feeling, Dr. Durone, how do we gather safely?
So, I mean, it's important to remember that there is never going to be a zero risk situation so long as we're in a pandemic. And really, if you think about it, there's never a zero risk situation when you're gathering. There are always communicable diseases around, and it's really just a matter of statistics right now, right? And we are inherently social creatures, and we should not feel guilty for wanting to be with others that we love and cherish in person. It doesn't make us bad people. In fact, there's so much sadness and anxiety. You know, we want that more than ever right now.
Let's go straight to the phones because people are calling 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to share the choices that you've made, how you feel about social gatherings and parties, reactions to what's happening in your community. We've got Andrew on the line from Boston. Andrew, go ahead.
Hey, how are you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I have canceled my wedding, which was supposed to be on October 25th. My best man's from California. My fiance's family's from Michigan. Having a regular wedding right now is just socially irresponsible. We were hoping to have Jack the Whipper perform and do entertaining, but we're, again, being responsible. So as somebody who has literally canceled his own wedding, I feel like I'm in a better position than most to say that what these people are doing in Maine and elsewhere is utterly irresponsible and, my opinion, unforgivable. There's no excuse for it. Thank you.
Andrew, I'm sorry that you had to cancel your wedding. Before you go, have you thought about how to reschedule it, or are you just going to wait?
You know, we thought about having one of these quote-unquote mini-monies that have become the trend with a smaller group. But the bottom line is we both have big families. We all have lots of friends. And however we have tried to plan it alternately, it just didn't feel right. So we are going to delay things approximately 1 year and get married then. And look, if there's not a vaccine by then and we still have to reschedule, we might have to do something else. But for the time being, we're pushing it down a year to do it the way we want and in a way that is both safe and socially responsible.
Andrew, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Beth, let's give you a chance to react. I mean, that seems to be in the vein of what you were just saying.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping you were going to come to me. I was thinking about these mini-monies, which I love that phrase. I hadn't heard that before, that term. I talked to a wedding planner who said that people are having these little, you know, micro-weddings or mini-monies and asking guests to quarantine 14 days ahead before coming to the wedding, which I was thinking, on one hand, guests were being saved a lot of time because of the pandemic, because weddings used to now recently have spread to 2 or 3 days with the before, you know, cocktails and after brunch. And now it's just like down for 3 hours. But if you've got a quarantine for 14 days ahead before going to an event, that really puts, you know, you're really in it as a guest. Yeah, I think he's smart because people who do have, you know, big families or want to celebrate in a certain way, I think you want to just maybe get married if you want, you know, officially, with just as a piece. But then have a big party later. I think that's probably the way to do it. I was also thinking if I could just talk about the parties in the parties, or maybe you want to get to that later, like the one in Sudbury, where the police charged the parents, those parents and their teenager with criminal for hosting that large party. I was interested to learn that there was so much vitriol flowing to the couple on social media that authorities were actually urging the people to accept the fact that these people were being charged criminally so you can leave them alone online. Like, people are really getting angry at people who violate these policies.
We actually spoke with civil liberties attorney Harvey Silverglate yesterday about that specifically, because it led to a delay in in-person learning for 2 weeks at Lincoln Sudbury High School. Here's what he said. He said it. He doesn't. Okay, so let me backtrack. The charge is under the host law, which is about underage drinking. And he was saying he doesn't think it was underage drinking that made the police take action. Here he is.
I think it was a combination of the underage drinking, but more importantly, it was the gathering without face masks in close proximity, without social distancing, of a group of people during a pandemic, where the governor has issued orders prohibiting such gatherings.
Dr. Durone, how do you feel about the possibility of beginning to use law enforcement in these ways, either with existing statutes or, you know, bringing in the new mandates from the governor to regulate behavior during the pandemic?
Yeah, I'm sort of two minds about that. I mean, I agree with the caller that having a big wedding, especially when it violates local law or local guidance, is irresponsible. You know, statistically, the more people you have, the more likely there is to be someone with COVID there. And when people gather, especially in a crowded room, especially indoors, talking loudly, yelling in each other's ears, they are going to spread, you know, the virus. On the other hand, I do worry that what we've seen in the past is that, you know, heavy-handedness, laws, preaching, shaming don't really work when it comes to public health initiatives. And, you know, we've seen that with things like HIV and condom use, that, you know, acting like you know better than the public about what the public should do doesn't really play well.
I'd like to go to the phones here, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have Elizabeth on the line from Melrose. Elizabeth.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. My father passed away about a week and a half ago, and we did decide to go ahead with a service. We had an outdoor service at the grave and invited people to come. Everyone wore masks, and we decided, you know, and stayed apart. And we made the decision not to have a gathering afterward to have food and celebrate his life. But we did bring refreshments, actually, to the cemetery, and people did stay so that they could talk and support each other. It felt very important to celebrate his life and to be together. Two of my siblings could not come because they are from out of state, and they made the decision to not come. But it was good to do that, and it really did help sort of put some closure on a really difficult experience.
Elizabeth, thank you for sharing your story, and I'm really sorry for your loss. I hope your grief hope you get some relief from your grief. We have a second call that's on a similar subject, and I actually think maybe even Elizabeth's call might help Cynthia in the Boston Seaport District. Cynthia, you go ahead.
Hi. Yes, we had a young family member pass away at the very beginning of the COVID crisis, not of COVID, of ovarian cancer at 31 years old. And I'm just curious, you know, if you have any advice. We did end up having services for her in New Hampshire, but there was a lot of angst and concern by many family members about attending it. Concern, you know, for her parents who really needed some closure, but concern.
We lost Cynthia there. Cynthia, I'm sorry that we lost you, but I think we got a sense of what your question is. And I hear that angst, which I think is so deeply seated. Beth, have you heard other examples of this? Cynthia's looking for advice. Have you heard other ways people are handling these moments of grief and loss?
Oh, I'm so sorry for both of you. That's just so hard. And of course, with someone with a death, it's so hard. I have spoken to people who have gotten comfort by calling loved ones on the phone and really talking to them to have a big Zoom conversation. I participated in that with a remembrance of somebody's life who died a year earlier, a nice Zoom group thing where we all said nice things about the woman who had died and really thought about her together. Of course, it's certainly not like being there in person, but seeing everybody's face on the screen and everybody had thought about things to say ahead of time did feel meaningful.
Dr. Durone, have hospitals come up with ways that they are supporting or guiding people, giving recommendations about grieving when a loved one's been lost?
Well, you know, I think, no, I mean, I don't, that's a good point. I think we don't have a one-size-fits-all recommendation for how to handle grief and loss in the time of a pandemic. I think, you know, the first caller described her outdoor ceremony or gathering and with, you know, with mask wearing, and that's exactly what we want people to do. You know, people should feel that they can safely gather when they need that emotional support of in-person, time spent together outside in the appropriate size gathering and with masks on. That is relatively safe. And one should not be made to feel an additional, you know, there's enough sadness and grief and anxiety over the loss and the times that we're in, and one should not be made to feel an additional layer of guilt and shame over the gathering itself, because it is within the guidance. The we are lucky that we've got a we live in a state here in Massachusetts where the administration, the Baker administration, uses science and medical experts to guide him on the definition of appropriate gathering sizes, and there's no need to feel that one has to go beyond that, although individuals can choose not to attend if they are concerned about their own health.
Dr. Durone, Beth Tytel, stay with us for a minute. I want to bring in another voice for just a minute. We've got Jackie Murphy on the line, who is the Director of Public Health at the Milford Board of Health. Jackie, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, Jackie, we wanted to talk to you because Milford recently fined a homeowner $1,500 for hosting a party that nearly 200 people attended. Just very briefly, Jackie, what happened and how did you make the decision to issue a fine?
Yeah, great question. So they had a large gathering, and actually 200 is a conservative estimate of how many people were there. And we had been getting reports after these types of gatherings, but no one was reporting them at the time. So I think that's an important thing to note. If there's no evidence and there, you know, aren't enough people making enough noise, then the police don't respond. So in this case, the police responded to this event and asked the group to disperse. And thankfully, you know, everyone did very peacefully and cooperatively. And so the way we kind of looked at it is, of course, public health is all about education and getting people kind of on board with understanding why these laws are in place, especially during a pandemic. So we spoke to the homeowner and also issued a fine. And our thinking here was, you know, these evidence-based policies, like Dr. Durone was talking about, around how people can safely gather are worth enforcing. They show everyone that we care about them, and that's kind of what we came to our conclusion with.
And Jackie, what has the public response been? If in general, in Milford, has the community been supportive of your decision to place this fine?
In general, yes. I think someone else before talked about the social contract and kind of all of us being in this together, and this time is about collectively trying to prevent illness. And so in general, a lot of people, you know, who had made sacrifices of their own, like some of the earlier callers, canceling their own events or gatherings, or postponing them rather, they were appreciative that, you know, rules are rules, and if I'm bothering to follow the rules, then I want to see that people who are not taking them seriously, you know, they get educated, and also there are consequences that are meaningful.
Well, Jackie Murphy, I appreciate you taking out the time. That's Jackie Murphy, who is the Director of Public Health at the Milford Board of Health. Thank you.
Of course.
And let's grab a couple of calls briefly before we turn back to Dr. Durone and Beth Tytel. We've got John on the line from Northborough. John, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I own an off-premise catering business with my wife, and we had 90 weddings booked at the beginning of the season, and nearly all 90 either canceled or postponed or what have you. Lately, we've been doing the smaller 15, 20, 25, depending on outside or inside weddings. And every time I send a crew out, I tell you, I'm for a week, I'm holding my breath that none of my staff have been exposed. It's a terrifying thing that's, you know, from a hospitality industry to send your staff out, you know, and you know, hope that the guests are going to be respectful and everybody's going to do the right thing, but it's, you know, our business may not survive this, obviously, but it's terrifying times for caterers.
John, that's tough, and I really appreciate you calling and telling us your story. It brings home, Dr. Durone, I mean, we have a positivity rate across the Commonwealth on whole under 1%. We do have some communities with higher rates up in the 5% range. How fearful should people be after coming into contact with people who are celebrating, and maybe some of them are observing the appropriate social distancing, but some aren't? Is this a time to be that kind of afraid for a week or 2 weeks afterward?
Well, you know, of course, it really does depend on your your level of vulnerability, your underlying comorbidities, your age, and all of those things. You want to take all of the precautions. You don't want to be hanging out within 6 feet of someone for more than 15 minutes. You know, those are the things, time and proximity are the things that are going to increase your risk. We're increasingly finding that it's likely that mask wearing doesn't just protect others, but it may also protect you. And so if you're taking all of those precautions, with the very, very low rates of infection here in Massachusetts, it is likely that you can do that. You can work in the catering business, or you can attend small outdoor gatherings without much risk.
Let's grab one more call here. We have Janice from Waltham. Janice, go ahead.
Hi, yes. I had a big birthday, 60, in early September, and I realized I couldn't do what I planned to do. So after a lot of thought, I decided to just write a note to my 40 closest friends and ask them each if they'd like to either take me out to a restaurant with an outdoor patio or come over and bring a dessert and sit on my deck 12 feet apart. And it's been wonderful. 25 different people have done it, and one at a time. And so it's taken a lot of time. It's been 6 weeks of partying, and it's just been the most wonderful thing because I got to have individual time with each one, and some I had not seen since before COVID. So it just was the most wonderful birthday ever.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, Janice. Thank you. And let me turn to you, Beth. You know, 6 weeks straight of the people who care about you the most celebrating you sounds like a good thing. Are there things that will change permanently about how we socialize and celebrate?
You know, I absolutely love that. You mentioned that you reached out to 40 people. I think you had 25. If you expand that, you could basically keep this going till your 61st birthday. You'd be like cake and dessert brought to you every day, and then the restaurants. I love the idea because a lot of people, I was thinking about something related to this. A lot of people obviously have holiday parties, and, you know, I doubt that's going to be happening unless you're given like a time slot of when you can enter the holiday party. You can have two hors d'oeuvres from 8:07 to 8:15. I love the idea of kind of meeting with people individually, like in your backyard. I know a lot of people are getting heat lamps, although of course those are selling out, but doing maybe
yes,
even starting earlier, like, you know. So I think that just meeting, really saying, okay, a big group isn't going to work, but let me actually take the opportunity to talk to those people individually. Usually at a party, you feel so rushed anyway. This is actually could be a great thing.
I think we will wrap it there. I'm sorry for the calls that we didn't get to. This is an important conversation and one that as we head into the holidays, we will undoubtedly have again. Beth Tytel, reporter for the Boston Globe. Thanks for joining us to have this chat today.
Oh, thanks.
And Dr. Shira Daron, who is an infectious disease physician and hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center. Thanks to you as well for joining us.
Thank you.